had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich. How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see, if ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we.
Good morning and welcome back to Eco Talk, your radio home for all things green. Today our focus is on renewable energy, with the energy bill figuring prominently in the news lately, and lots of talk from the Republican side, mostly about the need for more clean coal, nuclear, or nuclear, as W likes to say. But where's the wind and solar and geothermal power development in all of this fossil fuelishness? To discuss the promise, potential, and pitfalls of renewables, we'll be checking in with Dan Carroll first. He's a political strategist and co-founder of the Apollo Alliance, which is all about renewables. We'll also chat with Troy Helming. He is the founder and CEO of a new wind energy company called Crystal Planet. And in our final segment, we'll hear what the city of San Francisco is doing to advance the use of solar power in a groundbreaking new initiative. So first, we're going to say hello to Dan Carroll, joining us from the Pacific Northwest. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
We're pretty good, but disappointed, not surprised, that there isn't more renewable energy in the Bush energy bill proposal.
No doubt. I mean, I think the latest statistics are there about $88 billion in corporate subsidies for, you know, a number of technologies, coal, oil, and gas, and other favorites of President Bush, a tiny, tiny, tiny amount for clean energy and renewables. And, you know, our position is that for that amount or any amount, we can buy a lot more national security, a lot more jobs, and a lot more environmental benefit by moving in these other directions.
So what do they have against solar, wind, and geothermal power?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, George Bush, you know, while unsuccessful, you know, had a company, Harkin Oil, and so, you know, he and his father come from that business. So I think, you know, in general, there's an orientation to oil and gas, and, you know, whether, you know, it's reality, conspiracy theory, or something in between, I mean, the close connection of the Bush family to the Saudi royal family, there's been a number of books that have been written. You know, Dick Cheney is from Halliburton. I think it's basically, you know, the folks they hang out with are about oil and gas, and I think it's what they know. So, you know, whether it's taking care of financial friends or what they know, you know, sometimes it's hard to see the change. And, you know, a lot of the subsidies that have been there for years in our energy economy supporting oil and gas drilling, depletion allowances, you go down the line, you know, if we did the real math and the payback costs of various alternative technologies, the numbers would look different. But, you know, making that transition involves change. It means changing economic interests, and that means, you know, dealing with power politics. And that's where, you know, a lot of our work with the Apollo Alliance to try to build a new broad coalition of labor leaders, business leaders, environmentalists, urban and rural folks who, you know, can see the future, whether it's in wind power, in agricultural areas, solar and other technologies in urban areas, that, you know, if we look at and basically do the math around, you know, whether it's the cost of defending oil fields abroad, the risks of financing both sides of the war on terror, you know, the numbers look different when we do all the math, but it's hard to get that done.
Now, Bush keeps saying that we need to reduce our dependence on foreign energy sources. It's a matter of national security. Therefore, of course, we have to drill in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. We hear very little, if anything, about conservation, of cutting waste, of fossil fuel use. Not surprising again, but it's just so painfully obvious that there's this, something's missing here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just the, you know, to start with the Arctic issue, you know, whatever you think of the issue, pristine wilderness, or you want to just, you know, pure economics, national security, it's literally only 2% of the problem. So U.S. projected oil dependence on foreign oil is supposed to go up to 70% in a few years. It would take us down to 68% if we, you know, drained the place dry. And as it stands right now, a fair amount of that oil would go to Japan and China, so it wouldn't even necessarily deal with the national security issue. So, you know, we like to say that, you know, whatever you think of the issue, it's a drop in the bucket. The broader challenges of, you know, having, you know, more fuel efficiency in terms of cars and transportation, deploying new technologies, all of those things, you know, we can create, you know, under our plan, which is certainly not the only one on the board, but, you know, under our plan, you know, we can create 3 million jobs. This can be an export industry, jobs that stay at home, great jobs, in fact, and, you know, we could, you know, we can lose this industry to foreign competitors, or we can be an export economy as well as, you know, a more energy-efficient economy.
So tell us about the Apollo Alliance. Who's behind it? When did it begin? And where are you in your development?
Yep. The Apollo Alliance is about 2 years old, and there's a, you know, a wide group of folks from, you know, we have a steering committee that's composed of various folks from, you know, folks that are interested in urban redevelopment and real jobs and jobs for young people and jobs for minorities. We have folks that represent rural interests, you know, family farmers and the potential of wind power and biofuels, which, you know, literally we can be growing our own gasoline, if you will.
Grasoline, they call that.
Grasoline, exactly. And so we've got a steering committee. We have, you know, among our national chairs are Carl Pope from the Sierra Club and Leo Girard from the Steelworkers. And, you know, Leo Girard is a very interesting spokesperson for our work where, you know, recognizing that there's, you know, a massive outflow of manufacturing jobs, you know, are there great jobs involving building windmills made of steel that can be in Cleveland and Pittsburgh, et cetera? I mean, he sees the future of this thing, and he's been one of our key spokespeople. But we are reaching out, and we have folks that are from the business community that support us, as well as, you know, we've got some partnerships with other groups, you know, including, you know, neoconservatives, all of whom, you know, come at this sometimes from a different perspective, you know, whether it's the environmental benefits of clean energy, the job benefits in terms of manufacturing jobs and new industries, and in many cases, the national security issues. We have more and more, you know, the former CIA director, Jim Woolsey, and another group of folks in the Set America Free Coalition who we are partnering with, you know, are very concerned about just, you know, how can we defend the pipelines? How can we finance both sides on the war on terror? So around certain emerging technologies, flexible fuel hybrid vehicles that plug in at night, around gasoline, as you say, you know, there is a new coalition, a mainstream coalition that agrees on far more than what we don't agree on. Unfortunately, George Bush and Dick Cheney have not joined that club, and we're hoping, you know, in this energy debate to come that they will kind of wake up.
Just want to read a couple of quotes coming out of the energy bill debate. This is from DNC spokesman Josh Earnest saying, the only thing rising faster than gas prices right now is the influence that the energy industry wields over the Republican Party. For Republicans to use public anxiety over energy prices to push a bill written by and for oil companies is politics at its worst. American families need leaders who will work to lower gas prices, not work to increase energy industry profits. And just one more from Senator Frank Lautenberg, a member of the Senate Committee on the Environment and Public Works. He said, if the president really wants to bring down oil prices, he needs to put pressure on his friends in Saudi Arabia. While the president has been unwilling to take a hard line with the Saudi royal family, he has been quick to point a finger at Congress. What's wrong with this picture, besides what you alluded to, the oil background? But are we going to get anywhere with this administration, or is it hopeless?
Well, I'm actually, you know, it's one of these situations where I'm hopeful that there might be a breakthrough. And, you know, that critique is right. And then the issue is, you know, what's the alternative? And what, you know, there have been, you know, a series of breakdowns over drilling in Anwar and over CAFE standards. There's a lot of good people within auto companies that would like to see them make changes. And, you know, there's a number of large institutions that aren't quite there. And yet, at the same time, if you look at the Hewlett Commission, if you look at the work of the Energy Futures Coalition, if you've seen recent letters from 30 governors saying, you know, we can do better in terms of biofuels, et cetera, I mean, there's more and more a growing group of folks, state treasurers like Phil Angelides in California that's moving money through public pension funds, regional alliances of governors that transcends party lines. I mean, there's a working majority of business leaders and insurance company executives that are getting killed on the cost of hurricanes from global warming. We are very, very close to a breakthrough. And the main holdup, of course, is Bush-Cheney. And, you know, it really, I'm hopeful that in the debate over these ensuing weeks that there can be either, you know, a brilliant, obvious Democratic alternative that's, you know, here, $88 billion in subsidies instead could buy us these jobs and national security, or a bipartisan breakthrough that occurs. And, you know, right now it doesn't exist, and yet it's like a helicopter hovering over a landing pledge. So I try to be hopeful about it.
Okay, well, we can hope for a breakthrough, but right now we've got to take a commercial break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Eco Talk on Air America Radio.
Longer can she live as we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see? If ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we.
Welcome back to Eco Talk. We are talking about renewable energy, and in our last couple of segments, we'll be talking specifically about wind and solar power, actually the end of this segment. But right now we're in conversation with Dan Carroll. He is the co-founder and a political strategist for the Apollo Alliance, and they really focus on developing renewable energy sources. And with this energy bill debate continuing in Congress, wanted to just read you a couple of quotes. President Bush in the last few weeks has said things like, hopefully there will be more conservation, and I wish I could simply wave a magic wand and lower gas prices tomorrow. He says that as if he's helpless, powerless, and he's the president of the biggest consumer of oil in the world, Dan Carroll. Doesn't that strike you as just a little bit odd, frustrating, infuriating?
I remember him at one point talking to somebody who didn't have health care, and he said, I wish I could wave a wand. He likes that. He likes that line a lot.
We wish we could wave a wand and make him disappear.
Exactly. I mean, you know, a lot of what we're trying to focus on is just sort of to kind of create the political momentum for new partnerships around this sort of what we know we agree on. I mean, just as an example, you know, there's 12 million homes that are eligible for federal weatherization assistance, and these programs run through states. Every dollar you invest in them, you know, insulation, rapid water heaters, compact fluorescent bulbs, all the good stuff that Amory Lovins and others have been trying to get us to move on over the years. I mean, every dollar we spend on that, you know, creates $2 in economic activities, you know, that much in energy savings. So, I mean, some of this stuff is just no-brainer kind of stuff. And a lot of what the Apollo Alliance has been about, you know, Apollo is sort of invoking the JFK can do American spirit, let's go to the moon. But, you know, we need to go to ground here in this country and just, you know, a national project to get communities involved in this sort of stuff. You know, we're getting a great reaction. We're working in about 22 cities and states. And, you know, frankly, particularly in urban areas, you know, the environmental justice movement and for many years has been pretty much centered on trying to reduce the impacts of living next door to a toxic waste dump. And we're changing the conversation to, like, here's how we can make jobs in your community in emerging industries, and it's exciting.
Dan, how can people join the conversation if someone's listening to this and they say, this is terrific, how can I get involved?
Well, we have a website, apolloalliance.org, and, you know, we are moving forward. We're hoping by June to have put together kind of a do-it-yourself kit in communities. So for now, you know, we certainly welcome support. You know, you can sign up for updates, et cetera. We are in the sort of the wholesale marketing stage where we're working with governors and state treasurers in a bunch of states to kind of build the political alliances to say, hey, Washington, hey, Congress, and especially Mr. Bush, help us do more, help us innovate in the states. And then what we want to do is set people loose. So for folks that come, be patient with us. We've, you know, had an unbelievable response from people that learn about, wow, there's turtles and teamsters and business leaders and others that are trying to get together and do something on this stuff. And we're having trouble keeping up with folks' excitement, but we want to give people the tools to do more in their communities. We don't want to give make work. We don't want to get council resolutions passed that are meaningless, but we're going to get people connected to more field activity in the months to come.
And last question quickly, I should have asked you first, the Apollo Alliance, that's a reference to the Apollo project.
Yes.
Meaning
exactly.
Can do.
Can get there, you know. you know, not going to do it because it's easy. We're going to do it because it's hard. And at the same time, it's our economy. This is our economy of the future.
Hopefully we will do it. Thank you very much, Dan Carroll.
Thanks,
we'll be checking back with you in the future.